Smash cut.
A technique in film where one scene abruptly cuts to another without transition.
Much like a typical conversation with me and my friends when discussing film, television, music, video games, or anything else that happens to come up. This is the idea behind the show, Smash Cuts.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of Smash Cuts. This is Rich Caban, what I like to call the recap of Season 1. While you're listening, you'll hear very outdated conversations about movies that have either come out or at the time hadn't come out yet, or even movies that are we're still waiting for, like the Star Wars series. It's part one of a continuing recap series. We should have a new episode posted very soon. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody. This is Rich, and I've got
I got a feeling.
I've been curious because it's been a while since the three of us, Jackie and Dave, have spoken, and there's something that has been on my mind, and the question is, will you guys go with me to the prom? Batman, Superman. There was a big announcement while we've been away, and first big announcement was that there was going to be a sequel to Superman, Man of Steel, and the sequel was going to be Batman and Superman. Yes. Then the second giant announcement was that Batman was cast, and after like months of like, I think they were talking about was Ryan Gosling, and then they started throwing around what's the dude from No Country for Old Men?
Josh Brolin.
Wait, hey, who did you say?
I was like, who? Javier Bardem?
Well, that would have been interesting. Yeah.
But they also had the guy Alcide from True Blood was in the running, like all these different people.
And John Hamm, if I'm not mistaken, for Batman.
And Johnny.
Yeah, which was it's weird choice. which is weird because all of those people, I know when they first announced this Batman Superman, they kept alluding to Dark Knight Returns. And you're really starting to see who really knows what Dark Knight Returns is when people throw that at you and they don't understand that that takes place many, many years from now, you know,
right,
when Batman's older. So the surprise announcement after going through all that list was out of nowhere, Ben Affleck's name comes up as the new Batman. Now,
yeah, not even as a discussion, but just like, oh yeah, by the way, here you go.
Yeah, yeah, by the way, we signed him and this is it. So now my first reaction, of course, was to immediately go on Facebook the moment I heard it and rip him a new one.
Yeah, me too.
But I'm curious to see what your thoughts are, because this does harken back to, I think, Dave, of you and I in the comic book store in 1989 when Michael Keaton was – or 88 when Michael Keaton was announced as Batman and some dude was losing his mind and said, Michael J. Fox is going to be Robin. This is going to make the classic look like an original.
Or like when we went to see Bill and Ted, the guy was like, Cesar Romero was the Joker. Jack Nicholson can't do the Joker. He can't do – Cesar Romero
yeah.
the Joker. They should put him back in the movie.
Yeah, and I don't even know if Cesar Romero was alive at that point. So I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on?
The same guy who talked during Bill and Ted and read every subtitle, and then when they what was it that he said? That like he's like, I'm Bill S. Preston Esquire, and I'm Ted Theodore Logan, and then the guy behind us said, and I'm the Jack of Spades.
I could point that dude out in the street if I saw him today. That's the sad part.
Yeah, no, well, this is the thing. Like, okay, so you posted, Richard, a little like, what the F? Because, rightfully so, where did this come from? Like, he wasn't even on anybody's radar. And, like, I don't think anybody was like, oh, yeah, that's, you know, that's who I was really backing, but I didn't know he was running. But, and my immediate instinct was to, respond with, I'm not the bad guy, you know, quote from Daredevil, which is one of my all-time, like, hateable comic book movies. Even though they tried to do some really cool things, they're like conceptually there were some cool things. I love the stuff we've talked about on in the past about how the way that they visualized his blindness, which is a very strange way to put that. Yeah. But that was, you know, it was pretty cool. Like, there was his sonar was pretty sweet. So there were some cool things there, but Affleck's performance was not great. So, yeah, I got on that train. But, man, the next morning, because you did it late one night, you said something. The next morning, I opened my computer or my newsfeed, and just the amount of hatred, like, crashing upon my psyche was so overbearing. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, my God. Calm down, universe. Like,
I know. It was weird. Okay. It really
And I'm a huge Batman fan. I mean, like, seriously, I am pretty hardcore. You should see my living room. But I'm not so, like, and Affleck was absolutely not my pick, but I'm still not going to, you know, act like he dated my mother and didn't call her again. You know, like, it's not, you know, like, it's not personal. You know, it's okay. And let's wait until we can at least see some footage or, you know, see why they think it's, you know, it's going to work.
I didn't hate Daredevil like everybody else. I liked it except for three scenes that I thought were embarrassing. But in terms...
Please tell me it's the playground scene.
Oh my God, of course, yes.
I hated that scene so much.
And that's a classic scene that if I read that in a comic, I would have been like, oh, whatever. But seeing that act out live.
Superhero meet cute. No.
That's embarrassing. That scene. RoboCop trailer came out. Did you guys see that? It looks like a kid's version of the movie. It doesn't look like a
overproduced.
Yeah, it doesn't look like, because even the casting, I mean, it's odd to see Michael Keaton and Gary Oldman in this movie for some reason. And Samuel Jackson.
What are they doing hanging out there? What's going on?
You know, Michael Keaton just hanging out. Yeah, we could do you know, I just had a nice big sandwich. I know. Hey, what's going on, man?
Yeah. He jumps into his Herbie car after he gets out of there.
Oh, my God.
Surprised I didn't pick Sam Rockwell for the role or something. You know, she'd come in dancing. But
it's kind of like, you know how sometimes you'll have a list of things you're like, you want to get to just to knock them out. Mm-hmm, that was one of those things. I'm like, all right, knock that out. Let's move on. Like,
yes, I have that list. Burt Wonderstone was on that list.
Oh my God, I did that. And I was like trying so hard. I'm like, okay, let me watch this movie. Maybe it'll be fun. Okay. And you know, it looks fun. There's so many great people in that movie. Yeah. You're like, how could it go wrong? And it was just a painful experience.
It's one of those movies that it's fine for HBO or like when it's on and you're doing something else. But if you paid real money to go see that for a night on the town, you know.
Yeah, it's just like, wow, what? It's such a missed opportunity, like, with all those people. You're just like, wow, that person's in this movie, and it still sucks. Oh, wow, this person's doing this, you know, and it's just like, it's so bad.
I thought Steve Carell was almost trying to be Anchorman, right? Like, what's
he was miscast. He wasn't the right person. I don't even know what the performance was. What was his personality?
I don't know.
You know, it's like Rick Moranis as Barney Rubble in the Flintstone movie. Oh, you're like, what are they doing? What is this performance?
I still think Star Trek was the best film of the summer, but now everybody hates it.
Yeah, what was
right? What happened?
What happened?
I don't know.
I think you know what happened? I took my mom to see it, and she didn't like it as much as I thought she would, and I think she started it. I think something happened where Gene Kemick just ruined it for everyone. Because she thought that Benedict Cumberbatch over-enunciated his vowels, which is true. Like, he uses his whole mouth in a very over-pronounced way, over-dramatized way when he speaks sometimes. But I was just like, man, really, Mom?
But the reaction is just so, like, it's almost like, hey, do you guys like Star Trek? Yeah, it was great. And then, hey, you want to see Star Trek? Get the hell out of here with your Star Trek! You know, it's like, it got so, like, venomous, you know? Like,
It did. All right, so I'm going to go through this list. It's in no particular, it's in the order of IMDb for summer movies of 2013. Okay. So one of them, I guess it's alphabetical. No, it might not be. All right, After Earth.
I didn't see it. I didn't see it.
I'm trying to remember what that was.
That's the one with Will Smith and Jaden Smith.
Yeah.
Directed by M. Night Shyamalan, but you couldn't tell from the commercials because his name was.
They were trying to hide it.
Please go see this movie. Monsters University, which I did not get to see.
Jackie, I think you saw that, right?
Yeah, it was cute. It didn't have the same amount of charm as the original did, but I mean, it was still, it's what you're going to expect. You know, it's those movies. It's those guys in college being crazy.
Yeah.
Becoming friends, forming friendships out of adversity.
Such a weird, it's like, oh yeah, what I always wanted to see when I saw Monster, if only I could see these guys in college. I really got a sequel out of this.
I just felt like that first movie was so great and had so many wonderful little inside, like, homages, you know. Like, my favorite thing is that they go to a restaurant that's Ray Harryhausen's, you know, and I'm just like, oh!
Yeah, that's cool.
But, this one was cute, though.
Okay.
And there's World War Z.
I really was surprised how much I liked that. Did you
get that? I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. I mean, it wasn't. Is it going to change the world of zombie movies? No. But I maintain that I thought the swarming zombies was pretty fun looking in the trailer, and they cleaned it up and made it look more realistic by the time mm-hmm. the final release came out. Mm-hmm. And I like those images. I love watching those swarms. Pretty neat. You know, again, it's just standard. You know, it didn't insult my intelligence, which there's not much anyway.
One of the first movies I've really liked Brad Pitt in a while, you know, like in a calm role, you know what I mean? Like that wasn't like a, you know, because he'll do like an oddball character like 12 Monkeys or something like that, and he's fantastic. But this one, it was almost like the first time I'd seen him just be kind of calm and quiet and likable mm-hmm. without having to be some sort of crazy lead, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also like that essentially it wasn't – it could have been like Contagion. It didn't even have to be about zombies, you know?
That I really liked a lot about it. But so, it was more like an outbreak movie than it was – a gore movie.
Yeah.
And I think that's a big reason why they didn't do as well. I think a lot of people were expecting 28 Days Later and they got Contagion.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny how, you know, we kind of tie these genres together, but they announced the new Doctor Who and he's in this movie.
Yeah.
And he plays the Doctor at Who.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
White House Down.
Don't insult me by mentioning it.
I haven't seen it, but I still can't believe that Channing Tatum got top billing over Jamie Foxx.
Despicable Me 2. I love the first one. I did not get to see the second one, which makes me sad because in the summer, movies last about 2 seconds, especially the 3D ones.
How is it not still playing where you are? It's still playing here.
It's playing around here, just not in 3D. I can't find it in 3D.
Oh, in 3D. So, yeah.
And I want to see it in 3D, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but oh well.
So you'll wait to watch it in your living room.
I know. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So you can see the 3D first. Okay.
I think that's.
No, I thought it was cute. I liked it.
That's the bad thing about Dave, you and I being the only ones who have 3D TVs apparently in the world.
And this is another one that Richie was really anticipating, and everybody was, and it was Grown Ups 2.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And yet, aren't you the only one who got to see it?
I actually had to see it.
God. In the movie?
Our children would be, I had to entertain.
Despicable Me or Grown Ups too?
Well, this is the thing. They got to see Despicable Me without me. I was really upset. And then we got to see Grown Ups too. So, yeah, and it's everything that you would expect it to be. There's nothing redeeming about it. What do you think the problem with Pacific Rim was that people didn't connect with it? I mean, I loved it, obviously. We love this stuff. But are there things wrong with the film?
Well, the only thing that I could see that was really wrong with the film is that it was definitely a paint by numbers, you know, with the characters and what was going on. I mean, it was a cheesy action flick, but I love cheesy action flicks, and so does everybody else because there's Expendables 27 coming out.
Yeah.
So I really don't understand what that disconnect is.
And I think the fight sequences, you know, you watch Transformers, then you watch the mm-hmm. fight between, you know, the Ganji, what's they called? The Ganji. Yeah, the Ganji. Between Ganji and the monster.
The Ganji.
Listen to me. Cars, I wasn't even into Cars, really. I thought it was okay. I can't go see object movies every other week. You know, I don't want to see a movie about VCRs next or something like that. I'd rather, like...
Oh, that'd be a good one, because, like, he lost his friend Betamax, and then this guy DVD's stealing all his mad honeys.
Yeah. Like, how inside would that
Blu-ray
be?
Comes along. Oh, my God. I want to make that short film now.
There you go. It'll be more interesting looking than Planes or Cars, too.
And then Laserdisc is on an island somewhere.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
Actually, no. Laserdisc is on an island after its buried video disc.
I'm going to see Gravity tomorrow. I mean, it looks cool. I can't wait to see it. I'm like dying to see it.
You should go see it in anti-gravity IMAX. That's pretty cool. You get to float around with the actors. That's like the awesome way to see it.
I know. What do people really expect when they go see it with D-Box? I did D-Box one time. And like I say every time, just felt like somebody kicking the back of my seat. But like, I've seen D-Box tickets available for this movie, and I really wonder, like, man, what would that be kind of trippy if it was like vibrating your ass while you're floating around? I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I think this version,
there's no vibrations in space.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's no vibration. This version, though, it's just you hear a tap, and then you turn around, and it's George Clooney going, "Hey, how are you? Enjoying the movie so far? Can I get you any popcorn?"
I would pay extra for that.
It only costs $3,000, but they're right there.
Yeah. David, let me distract you from the movie in case you're getting dizzy. Where are you from?
Oh, you know what?
Hey, you want some Dramamine? It's all right.
They also did get a chance to go see Don John, which was pretty good.
So there was graphic stuff, like visual graphic stuff?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't like a bunch of, you know, like dongs everywhere or anything like that. But there was definitely
yeah, I heard, was it, like they cropped it out? They cropped stuff like artistically. Just, so you're still watching porn, but it's not. Yeah.
It's like Skinamax.
Yeah. Or it's like one of my early jobs where you had to do that. And for Playboy Channel, you had to take porns and crop out all the bad stuff so that you could watch it with your children. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the point of doing that was, but yeah.
They're exercising.
Yeah, really.
Put it on the list. Richie recommends.
Yeah, my Richie recommends list.
I always trust it. You showed me Battle Royale and all these other movies that shape, you know, most of my 90s movie making, movie watching stuff, man. Please.
And then there was Popeye.
Well, you know what though, Popeye was entertaining, and it took over my whole Catholic. When I was in Catholic school at that time, it was like second or third grade, and like it was like Popeye was everything. That movie, as shitty as it is,
I love that movie. I was just on today. I was watching. Have you ever seen that, Jackie? Or
oh yeah, but not since I was young. You know,
it's so weird to watch it as an adult. Yeah,
like the, what was it? Brutus has a, like a song. Was it Bluto? Is he called Bluto in the movie?
Bluto. I mean,
that song.
I mean, yeah.
He's like, "One time I had a dream, I beat myself up."
Yeah,
That's a lyric in the song.
Yeah. And what's so weird is that guy's voice was overdubbed through the whole movie. I never realized that. Like as I've watched it over and over.
Where's Olive?
Yeah. Yeah, it's, and even Robin Williams, you watch that movie and his performance is actually, like, he's not being Robin Williams, he's actually being Popeye, which
he's being the Popeye from the old cartoon where he just kept talking even though his mouth wasn't moving or anything.
Yeah.
And it was just like, it was just an ongoing ramble, and that's what he does in the movie, and it's dubbed over, and it's pretty bizarre.
Somebody listening to this is saying, speaking of an ongoing ramble, Popeye!
Oh, thank God they came back to start talking.
Yeah,
I wonder what they thought about Popeye. I was going to send an email, but shit.
Yeah.
Beat me to it. All right. So I played Beyond Two Souls. My stepsons are in for the weekend, and we are experiencing it all as a cinematic gaming experience. You can play as two characters in the story as it progresses. The two characters, one is a girl named Jody, who's played by Ellen Page. And her likeness is striking. It looks just like Ellen Page. It's scary. And, the graphics on this game, it's getting closer and closer to reality. Even though it's very uncanny and kind of off-putting, it's still amazing to look at. It's like you're looking at a digital representation of these actors, you know, acting, you know, they can be any age, you know, she varies in age in the game. She goes from being like 15 to, you know, 5, you know, between chapters. It's told in a nonlinear fashion. And you play either Jody or this entity that follows her called Aiden. And you have to like aid, you basically help each other throughout the story. whether it's, you know, fighting enemies or escaping or, you know, opening doors. It sounds corny, you know, what you could do, but it's so intriguing and it's such a cool, like, Hollywood style story. Would it work as a movie alone? I don't know. But as an interactive movie experience, it's fantastic. We're having such a fun time playing it. And it's like, it's really tense in some parts and it's really scary in others. And it's really action packed in some. And the story keeps flowing. So it remains interesting. We haven't even finished it, but we're dying to get through it. It's so fun. Yeah. So
it seems like that's where Zemeckis' technology really comes into play.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The way all the nuances in their movements and their facial things. And obviously they adjust it after they get the data, but it's still that what they show in the making ofs and stuff, you know, you still get it really close. You know, you get all the subtleties in the character's performance. There's some
so it's a far
faces.
Cry from Mark Hamill in Wing Commander 3 is what you're saying.
I used to love that game. Oh my god, you played that, Jackie? I didn't know you played that.
only a bit because it had cat people. But yeah. You know.
What was so funny of it, because yeah, you think about it and it was just like you would do something or you'd get to the planet you'd be shooting something and you'd be done with the mission. It would just be a quick cut scene of Mark Hamill. Hey, everybody okay? You know, I mean, he walked in clearly on a green screen, you know, and it's,
yeah.
And then you had Jenna, was it Jenna Jameson? No, it was some
porn
star.
Was it Jenna Jameson? Is that what you said?
I said Jenna. It was a porn star. I can't think of her name now. Oh my God, I can't think of my name.
You're remembering that other job. That's what it is.
Yeah, I got it now. I'm mixing them all together.
Crop it out.
I love that game. I thought I was the only one that played 3 and 4. You know, that was, oh my God. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I still have to play that. And I still have to play, the other one that came out earlier this year. You had mentioned it, Dave. It was another game you had played.
The Last of Us.
Yeah.
I still haven't finished that one. That one's so intense that it's almost like I can't, like it is kind of hard. That's the one thing about that game, the and it has nothing to do with the controls, it has nothing to do with anything. It's all very accessible, and like an Uncharted game. It's just these situations are so intense. It can be like, it's like Resident Evil or something like that. You know, not to compare. Yeah, I'm comparing, but it's just basically it's not. I don't know. It's not as intuitive and it is intuitive. That's my problem with it. I don't know how I feel about it because I love the game. I just haven't been able to progress in it very far. Mm-hmm. But also I've been really busy. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know, Jackie, have you had a chance to even touch that one at all?
No. It's still sitting unopened and I'm really kind of bummed about it. Every time I think I can start to play, it's like super late at night and I know that I shouldn't because I do have that kind of marathon personality where if I do start playing, I would just be up all night playing. So I have to start it either during the day or when I know I don't have a lot to do because I know that it's one that's going to suck me in. And so
why I'm doing that too. I think I'm in the same with that.
Yeah, I can't just sit and play an hour of it. And plus, my living situation just changed, and I moved in with a roommate who has a little 3-year-old. So a lot of the time, I spend playing the first level of Lego Batman over and over and over.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
And it's really fun. That first level is so much fun. But that's what we do.
You do have headphones for yourself, right? Like you've
Yeah, I do. I haven't really used them. Okay.
If you were to do Last of Us that way, it does have amazing sound. Like the sound is just it's very, very cool. And then same thing with Beyond is, see, the thing with Beyond is that I know that I could probably get through this really quickly. And like it's something that the whole family is playing, even though technically it's a mature rated game, but it hasn't been that crazy. Mm-hmm. Heavy Rain had nudity in it. This one doesn't really have any at all. And it's just basically a fun, like, just interactive experience. Like I was saying earlier, it's like you're nudging the story into many different avenues. Like you could, like one of the greater things about Heavy Rain was after I played through it, I gave it to somebody to play and they played it and they had a completely different experience than I did. Mm-hmm. The story progressed in different ways because it's a digital choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
And some people may say, that's not a game. But that's actually a kind of experience I really want. Because it's like, I love graphics. I love looking at graphics. And I like stories. And, you know, I like having some gameplay elements that involve you. But I don't have the mentality that I need to be, you know, shooting a million things like in a multiplayer or, right, you know, competing for trophies. I just want a digital experience. I want to experience those things and feel like I have some kind of influence on it. If that's casual, that's about it. You know, that's mm-hmm. pretty casual. That's pretty much how that's the kind of audience that I am. And I would love to see more of these experiences.
One of the reasons that we loved Fallout 3 so much is because you can vary your experience. And they did take that a step further with New Vegas, even though it's a different type of interaction and a different type of way that you affect the story. In New Vegas, mm-hmm. They have, you know, basically three factions that you can side with. And so I love the game and I finished it, even though I don't like it as much as three. I'm not going to go back and replay because I didn't really care for the other two factions that, you know, you were able to align yourself with. But I have friends who align themselves with completely different factions. So it was really cool to see the different types of gameplay you could have. And once again, like, where I'm sure that Fallout's not the only game that does the different karma levels, where it's like people will interact with you differently based on your previous actions, you know, and much like even World of Warcraft, you can be honored in some factions and, you know, hated in others, or whatever it is, the terminology that they use. But I always really enjoy games that kind of put that into play, no matter what type of environment you're setting in, whether it's the cool mysteries like Heavy Rain, or whether it's, you know, the more like action games like Fallout. But I do agree, and I think that we are going to see a lot more of that, and I'm really excited to hear about another line, because who did Beyond Two Souls? Like, what company came out with that
one?
The
company's called Quantic Dream, and it's led by a guy named David Cage. They're in France, and
this is their first game,
Indigo Prophecy, but it was originally called Fahrenheit in Europe. He breaks the fourth wall at the beginning of the game, creating a PS2 quality version of himself, you know, explaining, hey, I'm David Cage. This is an interactive experience. Sure, there's traditional gameplay elements in this, but we're trying to veer towards a more cinematic thing, like as if you were interacting with a movie, like introducing the game. So people, you know, don't turn it on and go, what the hell's this? You know, it's actually an interactive movie.
I come experience. Out from a day of farming and I'm going to do and play this.
Well, no, but that's actually one of the reasons also that I think for me, and certainly not for most of America, the rest of the selling tallies can show you.
People were like complaining about the ending of that Mass Effect game, that they hated it. I kind of, you know, I don't know what it is about me, but you could almost do anything for an ending. I think I kind of treat it like an experience going through it. And it's almost like, you know, in life when you go through a real experience and then at the end you don't really judge, you know, the end of the day in a way. So I think I'm always, whenever I've finished a game, I think the fact that I finished the game is just enough for me to enjoy that whatever the ending actually is, it doesn't really disappoint or anything. It's just like, oh God, I got here. Thank God.
Yeah. Have you guys, I know you got here. Thank God. Have you ever, both of you, like when you play a game and even though you love it, you're like, all right, come on.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I mean, I do love games. Like I play tons of them, but sometimes I'm just like, all right, I get it. Yeah. I get it. I watch the credits and all right, that's fine.
I think it was not the last Uncharted, but the Uncharted before. As much as I loved it, I'm like, really? I gotta keep running? God damn it. All right, I'm running. Jeez.
I'm running.
All right, I made it. What? Falling around me?
But
come on.
But what I do sit through the credits.
They're like beautiful. That. They're beautiful. And honestly, the probably the one that did that the most to me recently was when I played Okami. The credits were so beautiful, and I mean, it's not like anything was crazy happening, you know, it's just the way that they integrated the animation, and you know, you're revisiting different areas and characters, and I just loved that game so much. But that whole game was like, come on, you know. So
the end credits for Guitar Hero, though, the first one, what was crazy about that is once you finished it, it was like you could play along with the song that's playing while the credits were rolling. It was the most insane song. There was no way. Like, you're just blowing it, and it doesn't even care. It's like, whatever. Credits.
Is it the Dragon Force?
Yes.
I love that. I have a friend who can do it. Oh, my God.
And you're just like, I can't even do this. And it's like the game doesn't care. You're getting it wrong.
I love Dragon Force. Yeah. That's such feel good rock, like metal. Like, it's so cheesy, but like, it's so awesome. I wish we had that on the player at work anymore. I love it. Love it.
Yeah. I don't remember what you guys felt about Green Lantern. What was it then? Is it? Because I remember seeing it, and I remember, like, other than Ryan Reynolds, the rest of it seemed like it could have worked, but it just didn't for some reason.
I thought all the off-world stuff was great. I loved all the aliens. I loved all the stuff on Oa. I loved all the stuff with, what is it, the Parallax? Is that the name? I loved all of that stuff. Like, the outer spacey stuff was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And if they had kept most of the movie Outer World, that would have been awesome. I felt like the Earth stuff was a zany, you know, Guy Fieg or whatever his name is. The Heat and Bridesmaids, you know, kind of movie. And that's where it fell flat.
Yeah, the Earth stuff reminded me of that playground scene from Daredevil. From beginning to end. Think of all of the Earth scenes as that playground scene. Because that scene where Ryan Reynolds uses the ring to make a race car.
I knew exactly what you were going to say.
It was like, maybe in the comics for a panel or two wouldn't have been so bad, but for a whole sequence.
Of all the things, that's just it. Of all the things you want to show this ring can do, is that really the best your writing team can come up with?
Yeah.
Because the kids will love it.
Yeah.
I actually think it was more... The effects guy said, hey, look, this is what I have models for that are built. You have a bicycle, a race car, or a coffee machine.
Oh, that's funny.
All right.
We've passed Halloween, and we may be a little off on our dates because we're recording at different times, but Halloween is just past us, and we're coming across the... Actually, we're in November now. This is a new month.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting.
Seasons, they do change.
People treat November like the unimportant month, but this
is
the month.
Oh, it's so not. I love the fall. I'm turning into winter. Everything's still beautiful.
Well, but they rush it along, though, because they're like, as soon as November gets here, they want to talk about December.
You know,
they want nothing to do with November. November's my birthday, and I always felt very ignored in November, because everyone's talking about Christmas. Oh, Christmas, how fantastic and beautiful.
And you're sitting around with all your pilgrim hats.
Yeah.
No one wants to play pilgrims and Indians with me.
I know. Will anyone come to my birthday party? No, we're full.
That would be a horrible game. But best. I love at first bite. Oh my god, George Hamilton. I want to marry him. I don't care. I don't even want to get married, but I'd marry him.
Marry George Hamilton?
I'd marry his tan and everything. Love it.
What is it? This line is she's like, maybe we have time for a quickie. I do not do quickies.
No. With you, never a quickie. Always a longie. That's the line. Anyway.
So with the Captain America,
that's why it's called Smash Cuts, everybody. You guys ever watched the Graham Norton show? You've ever heard of it?
I mean, I know who he is, and I watched like one or two, but not really.
This Graham Norton, it's like all the guests come out all at once.
Yeah.
So, but
that's cool though. Yeah, I always feel like that's the best kind of conversation when you really mix it up. I mean, of course, it's always great to see experts in a field talking to each other, but when you really mix it up, that's when the most surprising, little tidbits can come out, right?
Oh yeah. Well, it just happened with Harrison Ford and Sherlock. What's his name? Cumberbatch.
Yes, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah, they were on a panel together on Graham Norton, and
he made Harrison Ford watchable. Like
he did. I was surprised. Oh. Harrison Ford was full of life. I'm like, really? Where did this guy come from?
That's awesome. I love him so much.
He was like
watching interviews.
He was joking around, and he was kind of like being flirty, and then they asked him about Star Wars, and they said, "Are you doing the new Star Wars?" And Cumberbatch says, you might as well tell him. And Harrison shot him a look. I mean, it was half comical, but half real. And he's like, oh, I'm not ready to say anything. Which also leads me to, that's two rumors right in a row there. So Harrison's probably coming back. But then that also means that, what's his name, is also probably in the Star Wars movie. Involved,
if he knew something about it.
Yeah.
He enunciates well enough to be in a Star Wars movie, so he should be in that movie.
He does a very good Alan Rickman. Are you who sent me that? Somebody else sent me that. He does
somebody else.
there was a Rickmanoff between Jimmy Fallon and Benedict Cumberbatch, and Benedict Cumberbatch won. I'm like, oh my god, oh, wow. Who I would ever anyway. Alan Rickman.
Well, speaking of, you'd vote for him for president, Rickman? I'd vote for,
yeah, anything. I would listen to his address any day.
What's your name, Clay? William Clay or Bill Clay?
Of all the things, that's what you're gonna say. Like, because well, you got a great American accent in that.
That's my favorite part. I don't know why. I think when I first saw Die Hard,
give me an occupation or I shall run mad. Why don't you do something fun?
Well, that was the scene that sold the movie for me, because it was like, what's gonna happen? He's like, oh God, please. Yeah. You're one of them, aren't you? You're one of them. And I'm like, oh, nice. He's like playing it off. Yeah.
That accent.
He's like, wait, you're gonna have to stick with me. Dung, yeah. You know, and then you're like, whoa, you know, you get all excited, and then
oh, I love it.
That movie pushed all the right buttons. I love that movie.
Oh my god. Yeah, I just went and saw it in the theater recently. They ran it at one of the theater houses around here. It was so awesome. So.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie in a while.
Yeah. Oh, you gotta watch it every Christmas.
Well, I used to do that. I used to do Die Hard, and I used to do the Lethal Weapon movie. Of course, Mel ruined that for all of us.
I'll never be in love with him again, and that's what hurt. But I was like so in love with Mel as like, you know, a twelve.
I know, yeah. Yeah,
you know,
me
like
too.
In that way, you too, in that 12-year-old girl way.
Bird on a Wire was the movie I knew that Mel and I.
Oh man, I love that movie. Everyone hated that. Everyone hated that movie. We had it on
Bird TV. On a Wire.
I don't think it made the cut to DVD when we transferred things over.
Bird on a Wire. That was just like, let's just make a movie and put two people in it. It wasn't even like any fun. <thought. laughs> I don't know which one of you said, you know, they'll have to deal with the aftermath of Thor or Captain America, I guess it was. There's actually an article that was just released just now, actually, that says in 17 days, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. will deal with Thor, the Dark World aftermath.
Yeah, that's what I said. They're crossing over.
Yeah, so they're definitely doing it.
Did you think I was lying to you? Did you think I was bringing you bad information?
I thought you were just kind of like, you know, theorizing. I was like, I didn't realize.
I said that they said. I wasn't actually listening to you, Jackie.
Yes,
like,
no.
You're a valued member of this team.
I did remember. I did announce at the beginning of the podcast that I would be doing something else while you were speaking. So that was, remember.
I think you did announce that it was not necessarily going to be you being a jerk. But
I don't like when mom and dad are fighting.
That's a really pain in the ass to figure that out. Because remember X-Files, in order to do that, they had to film... They filmed the movie, and then they had to film the entire season as if they didn't film the movie, so that the movie would then, so that the show would then lead up to the movie. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah,
right?
No, I remember that. Yeah, that was really cool. That was totally cool.
Yeah.
That was wicked.
Awesome.
Cool. I also remember when I was still really excited about new X-Files.
X-Men, smash cut over to X-Men.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We had a trailer for that, too. Yeah.
Days of Future Past.
Yeah. Did you get to see it, Dave?
Yeah, I saw the trailer. I thought it looked great. You know what's funny, though? Like, I did a search for it on YouTube, and I found that. And then, like, right after it was the cartoon. That they have. So if you want to, you know, see it, you can just look it up on YouTube.
Oh, that's funny. I just remember when we went to that comic convention and you saw him. And I just remember you said he's not looking. He just gave me a dirty look, and I know he knows. He gave me a dirty look because he knows that I'm better than him.
Oh, no, that wasn't him. That was Stephen Platt.
Stephen Platt? I thought it was Rob Liefeld.
Because he kept doing... Well, he's one of his progeny. you know, one of those guys. And he's, you know, he had some interesting drawing, but it wasn't even that, because I kind of, you know, Stephen Platt was a little bit of a better artist than Layfield. But the thing that pissed me off was he was just telling dudes, you know what I do, my method of making this crap is I take a toothbrush and dip it in some ink, and then I spread some blood out like that. That's how I do it.
Right. Oh my god!
Like, that's not how everyone ever does it. Like he invented that splatter technique. Please.
Yeah, but Jay Lee was really nice. My girlfriend at the time went to go get something autographed for me, and she said that he was so incredibly humble and was really surprised because she mentioned that I really loved his artwork. She's like, my boyfriend really loves your artwork. He's, you know, he looks up to you as an artist and blah, blah, blah. And he was like really taken aback and like really, really happy that somebody would say that.
Oh, that's so awesome. You know?
Whereas Stephen Platt, well, what I do when people give me a compliment is, you know, I stroke myself underneath the table. I remember trying to do a couple pages for even Liefeld's company, Extreme Productions. Mm-hmm. And I got a letter back telling me that I need to learn anatomy from Liefeld's company.
Yeah.
Telling me I need to learn anatomy.
Oh, I thought you said something creepy like, hey, I'd like to show you anatomy. Why don't you come back into my dressing room and we can go over anatomy.
We're going the wrong way, boys. let's talk about an actual movie. So I think all of have seen Gravity at this point. What'd you guys think?
Baby?
It was Gravity. It was, you know, people in space and spinning
Davey,
around.
Did you see Gravity?
Yeah, I did. I did actually see it. Oh. Davey, did you see Gravity?
Yeah, no, but I think the characters were a little flat for me, but the best character in the movie, the most well-written, was space itself. Like, it definitely was.
Yeah.
It was a very
space
specific
as itself.
Yes, it was space. And that's why I keep calling it space movie. But I mean, it was really cool because, I mean, George Clooney was very George Clooney-ish and Sandra Bullock was very Sandra Bullock-ish and they were just kind of floating. But and even the situations were a little ridiculous, like the timed speeding shrapnel that was, you know, right on schedule.
That was tense though. I mean, you really felt I never laughed during that movie. Like, it just felt very tense the whole way.
Yeah. The best part though, I gotta say, and again, spoilers for anybody who doesn't wanna ruin it, but like there's this one portion that an outside hatch to space and like George Clooney is like floating into, you know, where Sandra Bullock is sitting, and Sandra Bullock, she's just kind of looking away and like covering her face, kind of like, oh,
no, the atmosphere. The atmosphere is messing my hair up.
The atmosphere. Yeah,
I know. So I do that all the time. I'll like turn away with my hand. I'm like, oh, space.
Yeah. And then he gets, I just love how this is why you don't leave the hatch open in his George Clooney way of talking. And well, I know the things that I am looking forward to, and I haven't been able to still get tickets for it yet, is Doctor Who is going to be on in the movie theater on November 23rd.
I got tickets. Yeah, I got two tickets, which is funny because I bought tickets, first of all, not knowing who I'm going to bring with me. Second of all, not knowing if I'm really going to have that night off. So I might have just wasted $30. But I will have the option.
No, I know. That's cool. Yeah, I would go, but I don't know if I'll have a little one with me on that day.
Yeah, that's exciting.
But I am trying.
You got to start them young.
Yeah, I'll bring him with me. Yeah, we'll have the baby in the movie theater. But the
and be hated by just about everybody in that theater. Good job.
And on that note,
Christmas has come and gone.
Yeah, Christmas and Thanksgiving, we had quite a break.
Yeah, we really did. I know it got a little crazy for all of us, but what's been happening on your guys' fronts, Dave? Any new exciting things?
Well, I got a PS4 for Christmas, and I was really excited to play it, and then it didn't work.
Ba-dum, ba-dum. Yeah.
The world hasn't ended, but it certainly felt like it when I.
Oh, I believe it.
There's someone in a third world country listening that goes, "Yeah, that's interesting. Your PlayStation didn't work. I didn't eat."
No, I said first generation. That's why I specifically did not say first world.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, first generation always has to work out the bugs, right? I always go for the second run.
Yeah, because I need to know why I need to switch. I mean, I'm sure it's amazing graphically and stuff, but is there any particular reason why it would be important for me to get one?
I think the interface is what the biggest switch over for me. The one thing that actually convinced me that I actually wanted one was, you know, just switching between the apps and being able to put your machine on standby instead of shutting it down all the way, and all sorts of little minor changes. Yeah, sure, graphics are cool, but I mean, I've been saying this since last gen. It's like, yeah, you can push your graphics as far as you want, but as long as they use the architecture to do smart and fun underhanded things with it, you know, things that you wouldn't expect, like character behavior and dialogue and all kinds of stuff. That's what interests me more than the gloss.
Yeah.
But, you know, first gen is always about the first gen of the new releases are always about, hey, look at these, you know, awesome graphics. Right. Like Call of Duty looks amazing on this machine. And, you know, but I heard that Assassin's Creed looks like night and day compared to the new and the old, but I'm not a huge Assassin's Creed fan. But, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I really, you know, honestly, I just wanted it because it was new. I'm a big fan of Sony. So it's I love their product. I was very satisfied last time.
I don't know. I'm a Sony girl too. So I don't know. I know Dave's a Sony girl. So
Dave's a Sony girl. Yeah.
I'm a total Sony girl. It's ridiculous.
The only game I did get for Christmas as this came by is the game Rocksmith, which I'm really curious about playing, but it's so funny because it's almost like everyone's saying, hey, what did you get? And someone says, I got this toy box. And what did you get? Oh, I got this train set. What did you get? Oh, I got this chemistry set where I can learn about chemistry and learn things. Like, that's how I feel about Rocksmith when everybody's talking about all the cool games they have, because it's just learning guitar. I mean, that's essentially
so
what
So you've got
they...
guitar lessons, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
If they made a chemistry game, I would so fucking buy it. That would be so awesome.
Uh-oh.
Oh, whatever.
And you open up that you get a patch so that you can make meth as well in the game. And
why does it always have to lead to meth? Breaking Bad was a wonderful show, but not all science is cracked out.
Yeah, I know. Oh, trust me, I live with the chemistry major, so I know all about it. With the Batman Superman movie coming out, or even when Man of Steel came out, it completely killed Shazam, which is probably a good thing, because I really wasn't happy with the way that it was, or the people that were involved in it. I think it was Peter Siegel who's done all the Adam Sandler movies or whatever. Although he came out with an article saying that he was treating it very seriously. But what's so weird about this is, you know, the whole thing with Shazam and Superman have always been at a war with each other ever since. From the very beginning, when Shazam was owned by Fawcett Comics, and Superman was in—I don't even know if it was—I think it was DC—and the two of them were always trying. Well, they were Superman tried to sue Shazam, Fawcett Comics for Shazam, and years later, when they finally got the rights to Shazam, they kind of like always made sure whenever they were doing something with Superman, they weren't doing something with Shazam, because they didn't want the two crossing over in some way.
Right.
And so now, because of the Man of Steel, Shazam, I guess, was in the fast track, and then suddenly got pulled as soon as Man of Steel was coming out.
Well, I mean, you have to admit that makes sense, though. I mean, they're even though they have very different backgrounds and they're very different characters, they can come across as the same archetype.
You know, instead of trying to keep them in that world, I just really wish they had done a Sky Captain with them, which I've just been informed that Sky Captain, that look, that style is now called Oil Pump. I didn't even know this existed. Obviously, steampunk exists, but did you know that something called Oil Punk exists?
No, but it doesn't surprise me. There's like little subsections of everything now.
Yeah,
I could pull something out of my butt and it's a real thing.
I know. It's anything that has to do with Art Deco that takes place in the 20s, 30s, and 40s is now called Oil Punk.
Oh, they could have come up with a better.
I know, movie. Really. I know, right?
How about Art Deco?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sounds cool enough.
Exactly, yeah. Right? Art Deco punk? I don't know.
It has to be punk. It just has to be awesome.
No, it has to. It has to be punk. That's the only
Everything
thing that
has
makes
to be
it
punk.
Legitimate.
Cyberpunk, gothpunk, cyberpunk.
That's right.
Whatever. Batman being older and stuff. Is Ben Affleck really that much older? Like, is he like?
No.
Is he like this old genius man? It's gonna be Batman and Bruce.
You might dress him up that way. You never know.
And but I mean, not and this cat doesn't really come across as being older, but I guess he was always in that mindset of making them older. I don't know what. Well, I guess he is a little older when you think about him when he's hobo
he's not
Superman.
Fresh-faced, you know. I mean, it's not like you know he's making phantoms.
Yeah,
it's a little different.
The making phantoms. That sound like
phantoms, you know that cat over there with them dames.
Yeah. Well, it's what she said. It sounded like a euphemism for her, for him, like passing gas or something.
It could be. Except Peter O'Toole was in that one, so it gets a pass.
Yeah, there you go, Peter. Oh, O'Toole.
Which, by the way, R.I.P. Peter O'Toole, my love.
Well, every time I think of him, I think of Squirt. Squirt.
I know that's all I can think of.
That was from Supergirl. If no one's ever, but no.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
He's just walking around with this little bottle where he's obviously drinking from, and he's squirt.
<That's> terrible. No Lawrence of Arabia for you guys, huh?
Nah. He made two movies in my mind. That and My Favorite Year. Those are the only two movies he made. I don't know why, and I'll probably be Jackie's probably going to stone me for saying this, but I get him and Zach Levi confused all the time for some reason.
I'm not going to stone you because you're not looking at them like a predator, you know? Like,
yeah, thankfully.
Quite all right. Those two people, you know, I can understand if you are not interested in them, they might come across as the same. They are not.
Yes. They're like, you know, they're like the, you know, Pacific Rim when you have those two guys that, to me, it's like, wow, yeah. White blonde people just look the same. That was because I don't know who's who.
Benedict Cumberbatch did a fantastic job as the voice of Smaug. And it was
the over enunciating dragon.
Yes, Smaug. You didn't have to see his lips move.
Yeah, that's true.
But Smaug,
I'm acting with my eye.
Wow. Really, really great sequences there. I was very happy all the stuff with the dragon. Because that's my big concern was that we were going to get to the end of this movie and we were still just going to see the dragon, you know? And not, I'm like, oh, another movie where we just get to see him at the end, you know, which was basically the first movie. So, so I was worried that was what was going to happen, and it's not. You actually got a healthy amount of interaction with the dragon, which is a strange sentence to say. Because you would imagine most interaction with a dragon is unhealthy.
Yes.
And I suppose you have to wait and see if you haven't already.
Now that they've announced that Sony's gone crazy and decided we're going to split the Spider-Man movies into an Avengers-like world where they're making a Sinister Six sub-movie, and then they're also making a Venom movie as well.
But, see, the Spider-Man line is something, even as a kid growing up reading comics, was always fun and cool. And, like, I watched the Amazing Spider-Man, you know, like, TV show, cartoon, whatever. But it wasn't one that I was super invested in. Like, I don't know, I just didn't connect as much as everybody else in the world seemed to. Same thing with these movies. It's why I'm not so focused on them. Like, everybody was disappointed with the Spider-Man movies, and I'm like, yeah, you know, whatever, it was fine. But that's because it didn't, like, live in my heart, you know?
Well, it took so long to get up there, right, Dave? Yeah. Remember how many years we were hearing, you know, James Cameron's doing this, and this person's doing that.
Yeah.
And so many times it was going to be made.
Every time you mention that, I always think of that one article I saw in some magazine. I forget what it was. And they were just like, you know, James Cameron is doing a Spider-Man movie and it's going to be similar to, you know, the action is going to be similar to, you know, he's going to be flying through the air like Crouching Tiger. And I'm like, Okay. I just remember getting really pissed off reading that article.
Yeah. Obviously. Thinking, how long ago was that? And you still know it verbatim.
I know, really. Dear editor. Handwritten letter in crayon.
But it was just so weird, like, why it took so long for Spider-Man to come around and for them to actually figure out a way to do the visual effects, because... I mean, they still could have done it optically. I guess it just would have been too expensive. But I've seen so many things very Spider-Man-like in other movies. I just didn't understand why a director couldn't do it, or why they didn't believe enough in the. I guess it was just, you know, the studios not believing enough in the product to put the money behind it.
Well, that's the thing I think the flying around is something that everybody takes for granted, but I think it's the wall crawling that. Is yeah. harder to pull off, because if I think of the TV show where the guy always looked like he had the harness on. You remember that old show in the 70s that I used to watch religiously with a 40-year-old Peter Parker, you know? And not only that, they're all creating worlds now. We knew this would happen. We even said, when this was all happening, we said that Marvel's building the model that everybody's going to try to emulate for the next couple of years.
Well, because it was a good model.
Yeah, and they're going to ruin it. Everybody's going to ruin it now. Yeah. You know, if Clash of the Titans decides to do this.
You know, that's just it, is that Marvel, once Disney took it over, really took time to solidify the line. And we talked about that before, too.
Yeah.
And now everybody's rushing to catch up. And I'm like, no, that's not how you do it. Like, yeah, it might work for a quick buck in the theater, but that's not actually how you build a solid line that's going to continue and, you know, persevere. Yeah.
I'm just curious to see if Star Wars is going to be able to pull it off, because it's going to be one thing to have the three movies. Mm-hmm. But when you start talking about the side movies like that, what's to stop people from feeling like, well, why couldn't they just show this to me on TV? You know, why do I have to go see a Chewbacca movie, you know, or a Yoda movie? Like, why couldn't this just be a special? Like, why do I want to pay for this? You know what I mean? Like, I'm curious to see if...
I think an awful lot of people aren't going to have that conversation. I think a lot of people are going to be like, yeah, Chewbacca movie! I don't know. I wanna
When's it gone too far? When Greedo gets his movie? Is that when we finally... draw the line when Greedo and Snaggletooth are
Well, I mean, they have a huge universe that they have access to now, and Disney has all kinds of outlets that they can, you know, create these stories with. Needless to say, I mean, they may have these offshoot movies. They may be in animated form or in as part of a video game series, or, you know, something. They have the money now and the resources to present this material in any way, shape they want.
No.
And in the end, we're all just going to benefit from it because there's so many options. I can't believe, being an adult now, that there's an animated show about the Clone Wars and I haven't watched any of it.
Really? You've never seen any of it?
Yeah. I've taken it completely for granted, because I'm like, yeah, it'll be there.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, if we had that show, we watched freaking Droids, for Christ's sake.
Droids. Or no, my favorite is We Are the Ewoks. Some guy wrote that 5 minutes before it was ready, you know?
Pretty much.
Well, I just saw a commercial on Disney XD. I guess it's going to be the Rebels starts this coming month.
Yeah.
Star Wars Rebels.
I love that your world is so Disney now.
It's only been these 4 days, and as soon as that's done, I'm changing. Dave, that's why it was so funny when you mentioned, why are all kids programming? Why are all the kids always screaming? And that's why I said, because all the adults are idiots, because they are. Every adult on that show, they're the dumb parents that don't know what's going on, and
Smash Cuts! Smash Cuts!
Theme song.
Hi everyone, this is the other Tony G from the Mr. Movie News Podcast, and I'm here to remind you that the Smash Cuts Podcast now has its own page, its own feed, and its own way for you to keep in touch. Just visit www.smashcutspodcast for links to everything from shows to social media feeds, and even to the Flipboard magazine featuring many of the stories discussed in the show, and more. Subscribe to the Smash Cuts Podcast on Podbean or directly through the iTunes Store. The Twitter feed has just been updated to Smash Cuts smashcuts_show. But remember, you can always reach the cast at smashcutspodcast@gmail.com. This is The Other Tony G, and you can hear my show over at www.mrmovienews.com.